Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development is Wednesday, May the 7th, 2003. At this time, with a quorum present, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5503, Department of Aviation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, there's a packet in front of you that I'm going to be working from today for the work session, and I just wanted to report back on the request that we had for filling in the LFO recommended numbers on that summary sheet. We won't be able to do that. I could do that for a small budget like this, but the orbit system isn't set up on a detailed basis to that level yet. We aren't entering that kind of information, so it's not automated, and it's quite a manual task for us to try and put all of that information into a spreadsheet for all of those line items. So because we don't budget at that level, we'll be putting in information at a more of a summary level. We usually, the agency spreads those numbers across when the session is over, when they finalize the budgets after we agree on what that is. So we won't be getting that information. With that said, what we'll be working from is a memo kind of layout that just sort of goes through each of the recommendations on the budget. You have in front of you that memo and some information on a supplemental budget request for 2103, which we are incorporating into the agency's budget bill for 0305 budget. And then you have the spreadsheet that provides the detail from the governor, from the legislatively adopted budget to the governor's recommended, and then LFO changes. And the LFO changes will be found in packets. So this is a reference document for your information. If you need more detailed information, we'll be going to the budget binder for the backup on that. So to begin with, I'm starting with technical adjustments, which are changes that we're making to the budget as a result of the co-chair's requests for reductions in inflation, merit increases, and then some other the Attorney General assessment, DAS assessment, and then a couple other technical changes that are required for this budget. The table in the first item goes through the dollars, and then I have an explanation of what is taken out of that directly following the table. So for the first one, we are removing $156,691 in inflation that was included in the budget, and that is the 3.5% general inflation increase for temporary appointments, overtime, in-state travel, out-of-state travel, employee training, etc. And the only numbers that are not reflected there are the increases for attorney general fees and the state government service charges. Those are taken in a different calculation. The merit increase calculation for this agency is $33,552 is being removed from the budget for those merit increases that are programmed to occur. And then the third technical adjustment is a position reclassification that was approved by the Department of Administrative Services. The agency, because we're drilling down the numbers in the agency's budget, they wouldn't have the flexibility to continue to pay at the rate that they're required. So we're adding $7,922 so that position, so they have adequate funding for that position. The fourth technical adjustment has to do with the 2103 supplemental budget request that we'll get to later. But in the search and rescue program, the agency budgets that as a special payment to the Oregon State Police Department. They have the only expenditure that they have, which they will retain, is the collection of those monies, the cost to collect those monies. And the actual expenditure for search and rescue is in the Office of Emergency Management and State Police. And it doesn't make sense to put that as a special payment. It should be a revenue transfer. So I'm recommending that we take that portion of their budget and turn it into a revenue transfer so we don't run into a situation like we are to do the supplemental budget for the agency. And because I brought that up, I think I'll just jump right into that 2001-03 request, which is behind the first memo. The department has, the Office of Emergency Management was required to make some equipment purchases for search and rescue that exceeded the amount of revenue that was being transferred to search and rescue. The Office of Emergency Management had enough expenditure limitation, but because the revenue was in an expenditure limitation in the Department of Transportation, it will exceed the amount that they will be spending in the next in this biennium by $29,860. The revenue is there. The Office of Emergency Management has other revenues they could use, but it wouldn't be an appropriate expenditure of those funds. Those would be the 911 monies that they have for other purposes, which is more like using the general fund money. And so we are recommending that the 2001-03 budget be increased for the Department of Aviation, $29,860. Now that's what happens when one agency sends money to another agency for an expenditure, and there are two different expenditure limitations. If there is some adjustment that needs to be made and the revenue is being collected over here but can't be spent unless it's in an expenditure limitation, it causes some causes this kind of an action to be taken. So that's why I'm recommending that in the future that those monies be a revenue transfer, and then the state police are responsible for the expenditure limitation and maintaining, making sure that those monies are spent within the budget.
And OEM is going to be careful from here on out to make sure that the numbers balance.
Yes, they are. So that's that technical adjustment. The Attorney General assessment, the amount of reduction for this agency is $7,114 as a result of actions taken in the General Government Committee. Is that General Government or Public Safety?
No, that's General Government.
General Government.
No, that was Public Safety.
In another subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And the DAS assessment reduction for this budget is $4,712 reduction as a result of actions taken in the General Government Committee. So the total technical adjustments for this budget is $275,327. Do you want to take a motion to accept all these technical changes at this point, or do you want me to go through the whole thing and then do it at once?
I think it makes sense to do it
at the end when we've seen them all already.
Now.
Each piece.
So, that's right.
Okay.
So,
Mr.
Chair.
Chair George, by accepting those technical adjustments, what do we accept? I don't understand what we're voting on.
What you're voting on is these reductions in their budget. Not the total budget yet, but just we're removing the inflation, we're removing the merit increase, we're allowing an adjustment for the one reclassification that they had that has been approved in the department. You're approving that the $81,180 becomes a revenue transfer instead of an expenditure limitation, and the reductions for Attorney General assessment and DAS assessment. Those are givens almost, except for the.
Otherwise, it becomes shifting and coming out of their budget.
Correct. And what happens when you reduce this, it goes to their ending balance. So it increases their ending balance, except for the revenue transfer.
Just staring here. I move that we adopt the LFO recommendation on inflation and merit increases.
Okay. So moved. Without a question?
Well, I have a question. I'm not trying to be on it. Is this the only way we can present what we're voting on? I'm voting blindly. This began. I guess the rest of you understand what you're voting on. I'm voting blindly.
Sure. For me, it's pretty simple, straightforward. When we started this budget process, the co-chairs told us clearly there would be no inflation in this budget from the 0103 budget, and that we were not going to give salary increases, either regular pay increases or merit increases. So I've been waiting for us to get to the point of the budget where DAS and LFO had all of those numbers figured out so we could subtract them, and to me, that's exactly what these two are. In other words, for these two pieces, we are staying at the 0103 level.
Okay, show me, can you point to me where you're...
The very bottom. I'm sorry, I didn't have the right sheet.
He has.
He hasn't found it yet.
Well, no, I have. I guess I just don't understand how to read it.
It's the very bottom, too.
And in the table in the middle of the page are the dollars.
one of the way Representative Smith, search and rescue being another basically program within itself, it's just that these people, the money passes through to them. And so now we're backing out those dollars that went for these actions from their budget, so it won't seem as if their bottom line is an increased amount as opposed to being a negative amount that is not theirs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I don't mean to slow the process. I just want to know what's going on.
Ask question. You're doing the right thing.
Okay. Thank you. I'm fine.
Okay. Just to make sure I understand what we're doing here, we have inflation and merit, but also we're recognizing all the other technical adjustments as
That's
part
right.
of that motion.
That's right.
Okay. Is everybody okay with that? All right. Without objection?
Okay. So if we turn the page, I would just bring your attention to the fact that before the table on the policy packages, there's a little line that says vacancies. We reviewed the agency's vacancy list. There were two vacancies. One of those vacancies was eliminated when the Department of Administrative Services approved the reclassification of a position, and the second vacancy has been filled. So there are no vacancies in this agency to deal with. When you get into work sessions on other budgets, you're likely to see a table or a summary of what the vacancies represent, whether they're in recruitment and being filled, whether they're critical or essential, or whether we can eliminate them. And so we will be working with you on those vacancies.
Susie, correct me if I'm wrong, but what's happened is that you guys remember during special session that we had the issue of the $210 million of vacancies that turned out not to be there. And basically what we found out was that these are not vacancies, but actually like a slush fund. And so what I think the co-chairs are doing is asking us to clean this up so technically these are vacancies and determine what are vacancies and what are not. Is that correct?
That's correct. And in some cases, there may be some changes in, for example, an agency that has a lot of seasonal positions may find that they don't need as many positions, but they need to add hours to some other ones. And so we're using this as an opportunity to clean up the position information in each agency.
This morning,
as well.
When I was talking to Senator Harper, I said, well, probably what we have to call this is the truth in budgeting portion of it, as that literally, let's describe what we're doing as what we really are doing. So, but here we have no vacancies that are going to be.
That's right. Okay, so moving on. And I would recommend that we adopt each policy package as we go on, okay. As we describe each one, so it's clear what we're doing. Policy package 101 was to increase the financial aid to municipality grants by $100,000. For total grant program of $400,000, and to add $50,000 other funds to support a study on regional air cargo infrastructure needs, which will be conducted by the Port of Portland. And I am recommending approval of the increase to the federal aid and to municipalities grant program and an increase in the amount of $250,000 for a total grant program of $650,000. The agency has sufficient revenue to support this package. And the reason I'm recommending an increase is because we made technical adjustments and then there are other packages that I am not recommending that would allow them to increase the amount that they are providing to the local governments for their airports. And the agency suggested that $250,000 would be a good amount for that purpose. So that is.
Senator Duke's question on policy package 101.
Susie, yesterday we had a discussion on the ending balance.
Correct.
When we're finished with all of these recommendations, will there still be a $1.3 million ending balance?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, at some point I hope we have another discussion.
You
about
will.
That.
You will. In fact, that is
perhaps
the last item we'll talk about.
Add to some. I mean, this is one that would be easy to add to, I
sure.
think.
You can come back
but
and add to
But there are
it.
Other places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So.
Yes, sir. Chair, coach. Thank you. Just so I understand, the other funds, where, those other funds are derived from what?
The other funds come from avgas fuel tax and from jet fuel tax. And in the at the local airports, they also have to, there's a local match that goes along with that.
Is it, just to follow up, just so I'm clear, so what we're doing is because there's additional other fund dollars is we're putting those, we're going to increase the amount of grants going to the local level.
Correct.
Just so I'm clear, mm-hmm. follow-up question.
Absolutely.
The alternative could be to lower the amount of revenue we're deriving from the fuel tax or the jet fuel tax.
To lower the jet fuel tax rate is a policy decision that will have to go to a major policy committee. What would happen is if you don't put the money into the budget, it goes to their ending balance and it sits in an account until a policy committee deals with that.
Okay, just one last question and then
mm-hmm.
so we have the money, we might as well allocate the money.
Do that. Another option is for the subcommittee to recommend that these monies be shifted to or transferred to the general fund as a one-time transfer.
Okay. I just ask Ann to come up because, Ann, one of the things that you heard from the committee, and particularly from the chair, from day one is we have such a backlog of things to do. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to get more dollars out there? You're comfortable with these things are needed, these need to be done as far as these transfers that are happening?
Yes, Chair George. I think when we were talking with the LFO analyst about our increasing ending balance and what to do with that, and somebody mentioned yesterday, do we have the ability as a staff to do more project work? Actually, I think we are about limited, and so by increasing the grants to local communities, that's the easiest way that we can do it. And depending on how big this program goes, we may need to, in order to facilitate getting more money into local projects, we may need to make some changes to our current program, such as increasing the maximum grant level or decreasing the local match level. So after we see what happens with this total grant program, then we're going to be looking at how we can restructure the program so that we can really facilitate local governments using the money. There is the need, and I think that as much money as we can put into this program, it would be used.
Senator Dukes?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point out that getting the last avgas and jet fuel tax increase didn't happen overnight. It was a long-term project. It took probably at least 6 years with all the parties getting together and talking about where would the money go and all of that sort of thing to get it passed. But the reason they all stood behind it when it passed was because they wanted exactly what we're talking about doing right now. I don't think that most of them would support reducing the tax.
I wasn't advocating that. I just wanted to know what our options were.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to do is find out what our options are.
Well, and as a point, too, relative to what I understand from what's happening in aviation, that air cargo is going to be a major factor. I mean, some of the new generation aircraft that are coming are supposed to move freight pretty efficiently, and we need to know where we are relative to this infrastructure. And that was my thought also relative to what Senator Duke said, that, in fact, the Port of Portland, with the revenues that we derive from them, would be entitled to have some money going back that would benefit them because of the contribution. What percentage of the total amount that you receive is, in fact, coming from that kind of commercial aircraft, the jet fueling type thing?
Chair George, I don't have the specific number, but it's in the ballpark of 90% of our jet fuel revenues are generated through the Port of Portland.
Senator Carter.
The federal government has said once before that they saw smaller airlines, airport systems being the new economic development front. And so I think to give them the kind of support that they need for short distances, certainly lends itself to economic development opportunity for many of our rural communities where they can carry that cargo. And I think that that's an excellent thing for us to look for, to trying to help stabilize this organization so it can be on the leading edge of economic development activity in our state.
Any further comments or questions on Policy Package 101? Senator Duke?
Oh, Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Policy Package 101.
Okay, without objection.
Okay, Policy Package 102 and 103 is to increase the expenditure limitation to participate in the pilot project as presented by the department at Governor's Balanced Budget that was hosted by the Department of Administrative Services, IRMD, to rewrite the pilot aircraft and aircraft dealer registration database because the current database is difficult to maintain, cumbersome to use, and does not support self-registration. The Department of Administrative Services has now dropped the pilot project, but there is still a need for a database to be developed. As we heard yesterday, the current system is failing and has crashed a number of times, and they're concerned that they're going to lose the information. So something needs to be done. The LFO is recommending approval of the limitation. But given the discussion about the amount, I would also recommend that the $100,000 be that a portion of the $100,000 be unscheduled until the agency reports back to the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee in the interim on what the detailed needs are. The agency needs about $35,000 to complete that next. The detailing of what is going to be required to do that, and so I would recommend that that the $35,000 be left and the rest be unscheduled until they report, and we can put in a budget note that occur.
Any questions? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What were the numbers again?
$35,000 is what they are going to need to expend for detailing the.
So $60 at the end.
Correct. And that would be rescheduled at when they report to the JLCIMT.
Question, Dan. The discussion that you had yesterday with Ed Wright and Senator George, did you come to any conclusions that in fact the $100,000 might be an amount that is not necessary, that we could do it, meet your needs with something less?
Chair George, Senator Morse, I forgot last time. I'm Ann Crook, Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation, for the record. No, Senator Morse, I don't think we came to any sort of decisions like that yesterday.
Not a decision, but just a sense that maybe there's a different direction. Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Certainly.
A different direction to go than what you had anticipated that might be less expensive and deliver the same quality.
Chair George and Senator Morse, I don't necessarily think that we got a different direction. What we did is basically shared some information, and that may result in a different direction, but I don't even think we got that far yesterday. But I believe that the Department of Administrative Services has scheduled another meeting with your chief of staff, who has a lot of experience in these types of systems, that should help us develop a low-cost solution that will work. So I'm very thankful to you for offering us that technical assistance, and I think we're on a plan now that will give us a good product. Did you want to add anything?
If I could, Senator George, for the record, my name is Sean McSpaden from the Department of Administrative Services. Department of Administrative Services. We did meet yesterday, but first I'd like to, if I could, respond to a question that the chair had yesterday and some of the other members about just a perspective on the costs of these kinds of systems. And although the numbers I'm going to give you are not, apples, necessarily apples to apples comparisons, it should provide you a perspective of again, how much these licensing and registration systems cost. For instance, the Board of Nursing, the Oregon Board of Nursing, in the 97-99 and 99-01 biennium, requested and received approval for an expenditure of $249,000 to replace their current licensing and registration system for nurses. The difference here, and the difference in many of these examples, is that they also have compliance, education, and inspection requirements. And so those are requirements that the Department of the Department of Aviation does not have. And so another example in the 2001-03 biennia, and then in the interim with the 01 JLCIMT, the Board of Pharmacy received approval for $243,000. We've been working with the Board of Pharmacy, and we expect that they'll spend about $190,000 of that amount. Again, that particular board has compliance, education, and inspection requirements as well. The Idaho Bureau of Licensing, we, in December of 2002, arranged through the Health Licensing Office a demonstration of their the system that they use. It was initially developed for $150,000. It's the cost continues as the system is enhanced. In Texas, in there was a 2000 study. I pulled out numbers from very small boards and commissions of like size. For example, their Barber Examiners Board that has 7,700 licensees. The estimated cost, the lowest cost estimate that they evaluated, was $157,000. The Professional Land Surveying Board that had 4 FTE and 2,900 licensees, the estimated cost was $110,000. The Board of Psychologist Examiners, 6,000 licensees and 14 FTE, was $166,000. And the Optometry Board the Funeral Services Commission with 5,000 licensees and 10 FTE was $173,000. And so, from those types of numbers, a comparison can be made with the Department of Aviation having fewer needs, but still substantial needs for registration of pilots and of aircraft, that the systems available in the commercial sector are certainly not more inexpensive, and most likely would be more expensive to purchase than what we propose in this internal system development.
Well, excuse me, Senator Dukes.
Oh, I get to go first. Thank you. Well, I'm going to try to be too. Situations like these, I tend to get fairly blunt, so don't take offense because you're only the messenger, and I understand that. All you've told me is that we've probably overpaid for the last umpteen years. And the reason you're running into a problem this session is because some of us have been sitting there and listening to the $10,000 websites when the kid next door can probably do a decent job for a lot less. And I know it's not fair to say, go out to Costco and buy a system that will work, that we probably have needs that are more complex than that, although in some cases I'm not sure we do, but in many cases we probably do. But $50,000 for software, for example, seems a bit much to me. I say, and people on this committee and others laugh at me regularly, what do we think OIT and OGI are there for? And don't we think that the graduate class of OIT could put together a program that would meet aeronautics needs? They are some of our partners. How much does DAS charge per hour to do these things?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, we do have a published price list. I do not have a copy of that with me at the table. I'd be glad to go back and get that for you.
I'd like to see it because it's sure. Kind of like when we had a several sessions ago, we had a long discussion with the Attorney General's office about how come they were now going to be more expensive than the folks out in the street, and maybe it would be cheaper to go out and hire, you know, attorneys with shingles up than it was to hire from their office. I'm not sure we can always afford you. Some of these things are so complex that I agree we need somebody internally doing them for us. But I don't think this one is. Yesterday you told us that one of the problems was that they had the way they do business internally, and we had to write programs that would adjust for that. And it occurred to me that maybe we ought to take a look at how they're doing business internally, that maybe their bookkeeping system could be more straightforward than it is today, that maybe they don't need all of the data changes that you're going to build in for them, and that if we changed it, then maybe it would be a simpler program. I've listened to this stuff for too many years, and while with the sidebars that Susie's written for us, I'm going to approve this one. You have to understand, I'm not alone here in this building. There are a lot of us who are saying, you guys charge too much and do design, way over design, what we actually need. There, I don't think you're going to find a software program that you design that's going to last for the next 10 years, never mind the next 20 years these days, unless they limp along the way they have been. But your intended outcome isn't going to be that long. So every so many years, we're supposed to just chug this much more money into it. And as long as I've got people in nursing homes who aren't going to have beds anymore, I'm going to have a hard time just swallowing the fact that we need $100,000 to have an agency be able to record all of their payments and keep the information on their folks and do their bookkeeping stuff and do reports. I don't think DAS gets it, that we may not be able to afford you. And I remember that when we had those, was it four or five people in full committee that one day telling us what we needed for economic mm-hmm. development, that one of the parting shots from the fellow who used to run Intel was that there were two or three areas we need to look at in this state, and one of them was IT. And, Mr. Chair, I hope we can have him come into the committee at some point in time. There have to be other answers to this than to just keep throwing $100,000, $200,000 at these little bitty agencies. Confound it, that money adds up after a while. End of my soapbox.
Senator Morris.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Chair George.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
I fully support the Department of Aviation, but I have a very difficult time with $100,000 for what we're doing here. Yesterday I asked to see what $100,000 buys us. I don't know if you've had a chance to put that together to bring it to us, but I'd be very interested still in seeing that. Let's put this all in perspective. If we only gave them half, $50,000 would service their debt for 1 year on their new building. Mm-hmm. $50,000 would probably take care of one or two grant applications in the communities. $50,000 may help pay for an employee to help get something done. I can't see $100,000. I'm sorry, I cannot see it. I'd love to see that $50,000 put up into 101. I'd make the motion right now to do it. But I can't see $100,000.
And Representative Smith, that's why I'm recommending that only $35,000, that the agency be allowed to spend $35,000 to get at the detail that you're asking for and unschedule the $65,000 until they present that back to the legislature to show that they really do need $100,000.
Senator Chair George, is there a company out there with 20 so employees and a database of 10,000 that would spend $100,000 on a software program? You show me the company and you got my vote. I just can't see a company with 20 some odd employees spending that kind of money. You don't see it?
One question, Sean. If I understood what you said yesterday, just to kind of clarify this, that you folks are thinking that we're going to come in more like 70, 75. Did I understand that right, or am I just trying to pry you down here?
Senator George.
I said, what are we going to do here?
That's right. Senator George, that's a very crafty question. Certainly, our intent is to bring in the system and deliver it at the lowest cost possible. The
message that I sent to Lori Byerly and to Susie Jordan about our plan for moving forward was that we know what the detailed design of the system will cost, and it's, to be exact, the estimate was $35,810. Until that detailed design is complete and the hardware and software, the resources or skill sets that are required to code the system and implement it, et cetera, are defined in that detailed design, a to-the-dollar estimate cannot be given. And so with that said, we have indicated that we feel that the project can be completed. It's reasonable that it can be completed within the amount that's been requested, which is the $100,000 for the Phase 2, which is a detailed design, and the follow-on code test and implementation.
Senator Morris, then Senator Carter.
A couple of questions.
Certainly.
The $35,810, who provided that estimate?
Chair George, Senator Morris, the Information Resources Management Systems Development and Consulting Group who performed the initial requirements analysis. They're the same group that performed or developed the conceptual design of the system, the screenshots of what would be what the Department of Aviation staff and potentially pilots and aircraft owners in the future through via the web. Would see, and so those are the folks who developed the estimate and would be the same group completing the coding, testing, and implementation.
And this is within DAS?
Yes, it is.
I'd like to make a suggestion and maybe incorporate it within this that we bring in an outside private consultant to make a recommendation with respect to how could this be delivered, to get a quote, number one, to design the system, and number two, deliver the system, and do it on a private basis compared to what we now have estimated within DAS, and that then be reported back to the legislature with respect to the results. What I sense is that we have a highly evolving, rapidly moving world of technology, and that we're not keeping up with it. And while it was interesting to have presented, you know, what other places and other times have done, that, quite frankly, doesn't have much interest to me. It's what can be done today. And this might be an excellent example to find out with a very discreet, small agency as to what could be provided from the outside as opposed to the inside. Mm-hmm. And based on what I understand, and I know very little about this, by the way, okay, but what I hear from people that do know is that it can be done for less. I'm quite confident it can be done for less. The question is, how much? So this might actually become the opportunity to look at outside and see what can be delivered.
Chair, Senator Morris, just a couple comments. When an agency goes outside to a private consultant, they have to go through an a request for proposals. And they have to have their request for proposal written up and drafted. There's quite a process that they go through to do that. It has to be approved by purchasing and the Attorney General. So there are some costs associated with that. And from my experience with it, it takes them about 2 to 3 months just to get the request for proposal information back. And if I understand correctly, the department's system is on the verge of dying altogether. And so there's some bit of an emergency attached to getting something going on this right away. I'm not disagreeing that that's not a good idea, but I guess I would like to hear from the agency about more about what their need is, the immediate need for this money, and whether or not this can be.
before we began this morning, I was in here a little bit earlier, so we were just chatting with some of our folks from aviation. And Ann, my understanding that we've been in dire need for over two years. I mean, what you said just before we started was, actually, since you've been there, you've recognized that this is a real need. We're tracking. We have three systems, basically, to put together a simple record-keeping system that didn't have to be reconciled, which is tying up staff time. They probably ought to be working on grants and projects and stuff like that. But share with us the answer to Susie's question, and that is, how long have we been involved with just trying to get DASA to solve the problem? Because my understanding is that they initially said, let's just make the old system work. And then so we strung that along for a while, rather than moving to a replacement system.
Yeah, Chair George and members of the committee, we have been struggling with this system for a number of years. And for at least the last 2 years, we've been trying to either fix what we've got and then finally got to the point of recognizing that fixing what we've got won't work and we need to start from scratch. And it is very frustrating, and I don't have any personal attachment to this system. I don't want to do any one thing in particular. I just want to get something that works. And so I often also feel that going outside would be maybe quicker and maybe cheaper. My issue is that I probably understand how my car works better than I understand how the computer system works. And I always feel like I'm laying myself out to be way overcharged when I take my car to the mechanic and say, well, it's making this funny noise. Can you tell me what's wrong with it and then fix it? And so my level of frustration and concern over this system is even more than the noise in my car. If we were to do an RFP and hire a private firm to do that, because we don't have the technical expertise on staff, I would still have to rely on DAS people to manage the RFP to make sure that we're asking for the appropriate private services and to evaluate that and to hire the person. So by the time we involve DAS in all of that, not only does it add time, but I'm sure that would add expense. And I guess I'm just laying out to you the quandary that I'm in of how do I get somebody that understands how it all works and what I need.
Senator Carter, and then Representative Hanson.
I know Senator Dukes has known me for some time, and I know Representative Hanson has known me for some time. And I knew Susie when the first day she started working here, so she knows me, too. Not very long on patience. Mr. Chairman, Susie told us 10 minutes ago we will unschedule $65,000, have the organization, the agency, to come back and tell us how much more they need in order to get this full system and to be in compliance, and that she would be DAS would be very careful with the other $65,000 and would have to come to the e-board to have those dollars scheduled. Now, I know all of us have something that we need to say and we need to put on record, but it appears to me that we beat this dog deader than dead. And we trust our staff, or we don't. The 65 is on schedule. They're going to only get $35,000. They even got to come up with a few pennies left over, $851. What do we want?
I can't have you move the bill right now because we have more discussion. Representative Hanson.
I pretty much take lead from my senator. We've been struggling with these kind of issues for as long as I've been in this building, plus 8 years on the county commission before that. Every time we have the heartburn over the cost of IT, we kind of restructure how we do the various procedures. We have to have DAS involved in each one of these purchases, because before we did, we had agencies willy-nilly going out either with private contractors or doing work themselves or designing systems where the RFP went out but the RFP wasn't put together right, and we had disaster after disaster after disaster. So DAS serves as a clearinghouse. The technology committee serves as a clearinghouse. A lot of money gets unscheduled to go to the e-board. All of these are checks and balances to try and get us the best buy on technology that we can get. And then we look back and say, well, yeah, this seems like an awfully complicated system. Isn't there a cheaper way to do it? Well, in a lot of cases, we tried the cheaper way, and that didn't get us the results that we wanted either. So, you know, I have to just kind of put my faith in the staff. We've got the checks and balances, hopefully, and we've got some very competent people at DAS, that all of these things are mixes. Sometimes DAS does it themselves. Sometimes they farm it out. Sometimes they coordinate RFPs and go private. But with my IT knowledge, I've got to trust the staff that they're using the appropriate tools that they've got, and there's a lot of checks and balances in the system. There are programs that come forward and then DAS kills them because the results aren't coming forward the way they want. Technologies change during life of programs and they're improved. Anyway, I think this is a pretty decent solution, given the $35,000 and unscheduled the rest, and work through the e-board to make sure that we're getting the best buy.
Senator Morris?
Well, I think we're spending far too much time on this detail, but to me it's symbolic of a greater problem. And we will wind up, I'm quite confident, spending $100,000, mm-hmm, on this. And it's discouraging to me to let the system win, because that's what's happening here. And how do you begin to fundamentally change things? But it's frustrating to me.
I think,
Senator Dukes, and then Senator Carter.
I think that I agree with Representative Hansen that we need a DAS to step forward. We've had a number of serious missteps on IT, and they were, I think, pretty much to our situation, times when we didn't have anybody to manage them. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think that we've overdone it, that we've pulled the in-house thing, and I agree with Senator Morris. This will cost us, if not $100,000, pretty darn close to it, because we're over a barrel. We've got a collapsing system, and we've put in enough structure that for little things like this, we can't go out easily to the outside. And so we force ourselves to use our own system. I don't know what it's costing per hour to design this, but I have to tell you that $50,000 for software for a small agency like this makes no sense to me whatever. And I'm going to do something that I normally wouldn't do in this situation. Mr. Chair, if we go to a vote today, I'm going to be a no. I want to see Gary Weeks. I want to know what we're going to do so that we don't continue to pay $10,000 every time some border commission wants a website.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's somebody's fee money out there. Representative Smith was right about what we could do with the $50,000. And I know that they've got a collapsing system. If anybody else, you know, if I'm not just a lone no vote on this, it's not my intent to hold it up very long. But something's got to get the message across that I've been at this exact situation umpteen times over the last several years in Ways and Means, and I'm not interested in being here again. The agency's the one that ends up suffering because we're struggling to get our hands on a budget, and so I really don't want to hold it up very long. But somebody's got to be able to get to the bottom of the problem that we have that inflates these costs up to where they are. I mean, maybe there's somebody in this building who can convince me that $50,000 in software is a good idea, but I don't think so. So I just...
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the $50,000 for software, $50,000 for professional services that I put in my recommended approval is a ballpark figure that we don't really know what it's going to cost. That's very general. It's based on what other agencies have paid for, like, systems. So... For this agency, you know, we don't know if it's going to cost that amount of money until they do this first piece of it. So.
Mr. Chair, the first piece is going to cost $35,000 exactly. Just to get the plan.
Correct.
That's before anybody starts programming. It is a big enough frustration to me that I know there's going to be another little agency through here, well, and they're going to have the same thing, and they're going to tell us the same story, that their system's about to collapse. I have no interest in seeing their system collapse, but I just have the belief that holding this thing up for a few days isn't going to hurt anything.
Senator, and that is an almost identical discussion that we had before we began this morning. We were just sitting around chatting. There's the frustration within the agency for, first of all, having a collapsing system, for having meeting after meeting after meeting just to get up to the point we are now and not have anything that... What do you think the turnaround time is going to be before this thing is operational?
Senator George, members of the committee, the detailed design is estimated to take about 3 months. The coding and testing, again, a very high-level estimate because the detailed design is not complete yet, would be 3 to 4 months. So we're talking a 6 to 7 month process at minimum to complete an internal development.
And at that time, it would be turnkey. This thing would be operating.
Absolutely, and staff trained in the use of it and a maintenance plan established.
Senator Carter, and then Senator
I have an idea. Since the legislature in
it's
its
be here 6 months?
Wisdom. I don't want to have to shoot this morning. 6 months now, I'm resigning. the legislature in its wisdom put this system together in terms of DAS being a So rather than for all of us to be frustrated, why don't we do something about it? We don't have to be frustrated. I mean, who are you going to depend on? Everyone of these little independent guys out here will come and give you all other kind of decisions. And has admitted she doesn't know. The senator admitted he doesn't really know much about this stuff. I don't know much about this stuff. Greg saying he doesn't know about this stuff. I think I feel safer with DAS trying to do something and to be an expert system within a system than to go for all these other little bitty systems that each of these managers have to go outside to do. Then they bring us three bids back in. And then, you know, we'll say, which one is the lowest bid? But it doesn't mean anything in terms of quality. And so for them to have to depend on that kind of expertise doesn't make any sense to me. So let's do something about the system, guys. Let's just do something about that. Let's not even talk about this anymore. Let's get Gary Weeks in here, and let's talk. I agree with you. Let's hold up the system so we don't even have where it'd be a no vote. Let's bring Gary Weeks in here and see how we can do it better and do it differently.
Can we arrange for that tomorrow?
We can try, yes.
Okay.
We'll pass on this. We'll just go right over this.
Senator Morris.
Well, I just have to make clear in my mind what we're talking about is the pilot, aircraft, and aircraft dealer registration database. And that's what this program would do, manage that system.
Normal ledger activities.
Senator George, Senator Smith, it would also manage the cash receiving and financial management portion of that as well. So it's not only tracking the registration, the information about the pilots and the aircraft, but it would also manage the cash portion, the deposits, and the reconciliation piece as well.
Just the cash for that registration activity or for the whole department?
For the whole department.
The whole department. 16 people.
Plus, it speaks to death.
Well, we need to move on.
We do.
Yes, it does.
But before we do, are you sure you want to talk? Go ahead.
Oh yeah. I'm just hearing point out the irony of calling this a pilot project.
Yeah, I
thought so. Oh God! High five. You want to support it?
I had the same thought, but I decided to be silent about it.
That's the first time.
You're part of the devil.
No!
You're losing control.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it's losing control. Okay, now I'm embarrassed. The camera's on.
Sorry. I've really enjoyed this discussion this morning, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Vote no.
Moving right along. Package 104.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This package was to increase the expenditure limitation to replace the agency's headquarters building in Salem, and it would use $1.5 million in COPs and half a million in agency current revenues. The request was partially withdrawn by the agency. They requested $142,000 be retained to complete a preliminary site survey, environmental testing, and a design for a new Salem office building, with the understanding that the project is not being approved. It hasn't been discussed in detail, and that they're just asking for limitation to proceed in the interim to detail the scope of work. And I'm recommending approval of that. That would come from their current revenues, and the COP money would be off the table. That's my recommendation.
Any discussion? Senator Morris?
I'm getting embarrassed now. Because
No, that's okay. What are you the guy?
We're going to spend a lot of time. And we probably shouldn't. However, Ann was very kind to have given me a tour. The office is substandard. It does need to be improved, without question. It does need to be improved. But what I would do, however, is instead of taking that $1.5 million or $2 million, I'd leverage that with every dollar I could scrape up from the federal government and go out and do improvements, because that's the mission of the department, is how do we enhance general aviation in the state of Oregon to support our economy and the activities of the state. And I would find a way, I would go back and I would do an analysis of what it takes to bring that building up to standards, if you had to add more room. I know in my business, if that was my decision, I would put the money into the things that drives the business forward and make the office work. Now, there are things that need to be done, and we need to spend money. I would do that to make it work. But I would not build a $2 million building.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. I think this is the one time Senator Morris and I are going to be on the other side of the equation. I've also had an opportunity to go look at the building, and I have to tell you, I see the building as subpar and almost an embarrassment to the state of Oregon to have our folks working out there. I think there's security issues. I think there's, I think it's a fire trap, actually. No offense to you as the director. And when I look at $142,000, I think we are missing an opportunity to use that money to serve the debt on the COPs. $142,000 will serve about 3 to probably 4 years worth of debt service on a $2 million loan. You're not going to find borrowing any cheaper than it is today. You're not going to find a time when new construction jobs are more needed than today. And the fact is, that building is going to need to be replaced. And so we can do it at a time when it costs the state of Oregon the least amount of money, or we can do it the way we normally do it and wait till rates rise, the building's falling in, and we have to actually go and pay to twice as much of what it would cost if we were just proactive in financing a new building today. I've looked at where they're looking at building their new building, and I think it's an opportunity. And this is where the senator and I may not see eye to eye. I think this is an opportunity to have a new building that will drive the department forward because it won't be an embarrassment to the state of Oregon. Those are my 2 cents.
Depends if the person's landing in a Lear or landing in a Cessna, how they'll approach that building. And this is just a logical next step, though, in actually preparing for the construction, the $42,000. You're going to need to do that if we authorize you to roll.
Correct.
You'd go through that process. So these aren't wasted dollars. Only risk would be if interest rates went up. And you'd make a decision then, because you're going to have all the information as to go to construction or not.
Chair George, that's correct. This $142,000 was part of the original $2 million request. So this is doing the first part, which really, when we talked about this in January, people had questions, well, what would the new building actually look like? Where is it actually going to be? What sort of systems? And I didn't have those answers because we hadn't gotten that far yet. So this would get us so that we could come back later with a request that would be completely fleshed out and detailed and make a decision that time. And Chair George, if I could, I wanted to respond to Senator Morse's question too, because that's where we really started. We hired a team of architects and engineers and experts in all of the different mechanical functions and ask them to come out and tell us what it would take to bring the building up to standard. And it was the result of that study that they said you would spend so much just bringing the current building up to where it should be, and you would still end up with a patchwork building with high maintenance costs that really still doesn't do the job. And that it was their recommendation that we would save money in the long run by starting over from scratch. So I think we've already done the steps that you were asking for.
And Ann, too, just so everybody understands relative to the building, that you have in your budget repairs that are going to be ongoing to make sure that that building does stay safe, the existing building, and to make upgrades and updates, power situation in the back section and stuff like that. Those are already in your budget to be done.
Chair George, that's correct. That deferred maintenance, I think we had taken out of our budget originally because we thought we wouldn't be doing that, you know, when we had the request for the building, and we added that deferred maintenance back in, I believe, or some of it, so that we'll continue to have the building support us until we have something else.
How much is it? How much is that appropriation?
$71,000.
Okay, that's a 71. Very good. Representative Smith.
I guess this question is for Ann or Susie. Have we looked at what's the cost today of financing $1.5 million? What's the COP rate run right now?
I'm not sure what they're estimating the rate is, but the amount for this agency on the COPs was like $290,000, for the biennium, and that was with a May sale. An October sale.
I'm willing to bet, Chair George, and I wish I had my other calculator here, on a $1.5 million, if rates were to rise by a point and a half, that $142,000 would be caught up that quick by financing today versus waiting till rates raise. And if you look at it, we're going to be, that $142,000 is doing nothing more than paying for site survey, environmental testing, and design. Sometimes it's better to finance than it is to use cash, especially when you can lock in at a cheaper rate. So we can, you know, we're going to pay for a new building. We're going to. The question is, do we do it at the cheapest cost, or do we wait and we pay more?
I have about 4.31%. On the COPs, this interest rate.
Representative Hanson.
I agree with a lot of the points that Representative Smith is making, although I think this $142,000 expenditure has to be made first before you could even size the COP issuance. You've got to firm up what you're going to be spending the money on, where the site's going to be located, all of that. So I see this as the first step that has to be done. If there's any way to expedite doing this so that a COP issuance could come later. But I think if it looked like the work progressed and there was a good product produced by the $142,000, I would think there'd be an opportunity to either come to the e-board or to fast track the issuance of the COPs to take advantage of a good interest rate environment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, I am recommending a $1 other fund limitation in the capital construction bill so that when they do find the details of this project, that they can come back and request the additional amount of money. We would need to make sure that in the debt bill, when it goes around the building, that we have enough money in there to authorize COPs for it, if that's the mechanism for funding the building. But we can take care of that, too, if that's your desire.
Let me back up just a second. Representative Smith, did you see that on the next page, 108?
It's not part of the agency's budget bill, but the subcommittee will get to recommend for that.
Senator Dukes?
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the LFO recommendations on package 104. I had exactly the same thoughts that Representative Hanson did, that for all, I haven't been out to that building in years and don't remember a lot about it, but from all the descriptions, I'm concerned about knowingly telling an agency they have to live in that sort of conditions for the next 2 years. I hadn't thought about environmental testing, which is on here, but I'll bet that's an issue out there. And so I think this package, the way Susie's laid it out, makes sense. We get the basic information we were going to have anyway, and then the emergency board can make a decision as to whether or not to move forward once we've got that information. And then we'll see if that's the best idea at the time.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. And share with us where the site of the new building would be located and who's the current owner and the information associated with that.
Sure. Chair George, Representative Smith, actually that's part of the final work that we need to answer with this. The site that our building is currently on, we own. It was deeded to us by the City of Salem in the 50s with a reversion clause that if that property ceases to be used by the Department of Aviation, it would revert to the city. So the City of Salem has offered us another site just to swap on the Salem Airport that, if you're familiar with the Salem Airport, this property is on the entrance drive to the restaurant. So it has good road access, not as good airside access as what we have right now. But we're looking at some other options, too, because the military department, which is on the other side of the field from where we are now, has expressed some interest in co-locating with us. And there's also a private development that's getting ready to take place on the other side of the field that's expressed an interest in doing some partnering or co-locating with us. So exactly that question is part of what we need to answer, I think, before you would feel comfortable in going ahead with the whole project.
And to me, this whole thing just fits together so logically because, I'm looking here under 104, and it says $500,000 for agency's current revenue. We may, in the process of moving along, have those other options, either going with the private rental space or however that will work. There's so many options that could pop up. But also, you may come to the conclusion, wow, Congress just passed this thing, and we have some matching dollar. I can take agency revenue to be able to look at something like that, and make a commitment to that. I mean, would that be something that would be an interest to you? To me, we don't know where we're headed right now, and we need to determine that. But, I mean, is that something you would actually look at and say, well, right now, if I could make that option, I could have $500,000 that could match, or is that just not even a logical process right there that you would do?
Chair George, if I understand your question, you're asking if we monitor what Congress is doing and what funds may be available.
Well, relative to that $500,000 from your of the current agency revenues. In other words, if I were in your business and I had an opportunity to do that, I would be looking at the building from a little different perspective, as Senator Morris described. And so.
Oh, absolutely. And Chair George and other members of the committee, I hope you understand that our first priority is always aviation infrastructure development, and we only even talk about improving our building after the other is done. And so we were talking earlier this morning that so far we have not given up any opportunities for federal grants, and we're aggressively working with them to make sure that we maximize the amount of federal money that Oregon's aviation system gets. So yes, if it came up that we needed an additional $500,000 to maximize that federal money, obviously that would be the first priority. But so far, we haven't faced that choice. We've been able to increase all of our programs.
Senator Morris,
you have a motion, and I gather you're going to want to move this, but I would like to point out that we're looking at a $2 million value, and if you look at the interest, the COP, if you look at the COP interest on $2 million, that's $82,600 in the first year. If you figure any kind of an amortization schedule, say it's 10 years, you're looking at spending in the first year in excess of $282,000. I would still recommend, and I am totally supportive of providing the facilities that they need to have, but when I look at that facility and you think about putting $300,000 into it and then you're done for the next 10 years or whatever, that's still the way I would run my business, okay? I wouldn't build a $2 million business or $2 million office building when the first year cost alone would probably provide the facility that they would be very proud of and very functional. So that's where I come from. So if we take it to a vote, I'm going to be an objection.
Okay.
Senator Dukes,
this is for Senator Dukes. I complimented Ann when we went into the building yesterday that, you know, they've maintained that building. It's better condition, I believe, than it was a few years ago. And so, you know, that's a logical thought process. And that's why I wanted to, you know, have Ann help me out here to understand that that is their priority is still. The building is nice, and we'll do that if we can, but our priority is always going to be maintained and to improve airport's conditions. And I shared with, I think, this committee how important that was when I landed an airplane and bumped a prop because of a rough, Ann knows about this one, only to find out that an identical airplane just about a few months before had that same thing happen, and when it went to take off, it had fractured the crankshaft, the propeller went out of the aircraft engine as the airplane had just lifted off and killed everybody on board. So it's a very serious issue that we maintain these airports in the greatest condition, and our airports have been improving. I mean, I can see this all over the state. So this is a great thing, and I'd love to reward you guys with, you know, with the new building. But at the same time, you know, I'm seeing you're maintaining it, and you want to talk, and I'm just rambling on. We're waiting for Margaret Carter, I think, right now.
Chair George, I didn't really want to talk. I just wanted to express that we're not looking for rewards. This isn't a treat bonus for employees or anything like that. We just want a place where we can conduct business in a healthy, efficient atmosphere.
Well, and you have a situation where, you know, you have baseboard heat in that one section that, you know, without question, we're looking at efficiencies and room air conditioners sticking through the windows, and it brings up the security issue. Since we're just kind of stalling here, let's go to Senator Smith and Representative Smith, and then Representative Hansen. Okay.
Thank you, Chair George. I have to tell you, Senator Morrissey, that's a very valid observation, and I do give you credit on that. And I think you can flip a coin on how you want to proceed with this, and so I do give you credit on that. But because I'm also a very competitive person, and share with us where your conference room is.
Chair George, Representative Smith, for those of you that haven't been in the building, our conference room is my office. And so you can look at it as either I have an office that's too big or the agency has a conference room that's too small. And, well, the two of you were with me there in the last couple of weeks, and you may have seen in the office/conference room that we've got a stack of the folding metal chairs. We need those for staff meetings. We also need those for meetings of aviation groups that we meet with on a monthly basis. And there are, well, obviously for staff meetings we make it work. When the aviation groups meet, sometimes it is too full, but we haven't gotten to the point of renting other space for those sorts of meetings. However, it isn't big enough to house the State Aviation Board when they meet in Salem, and the people that want to come and observe what they're doing. And so we do rent space to put up the State Aviation Board and other larger meetings like that. So thank you for that question, Representative.
He's going to get me afterwards.
Yes. Okay. Let's just move on and we can come back and vote. Package 105 was the debt service that went along with the COP, so that was withdrawn by the agency. Package 106 increases expenditure limitation for the construction of an aircraft hangar building at one of the 30 state-owned airports. This package was requested by the agency but was not advanced by the governors in the governor's budget because they wanted to make sure that there was sufficient ending balance with the other packages that were being advanced. Since we've removed the debt service and the building expense, the agency has again been re-requested the $250,000 for the aircraft hangar, and I'm recommending approval of that.
Senator Dukes?
I have a question, Susie. If
if we end up doing 104 the way we were talking, so that the emergency board would be able to approve that, and under the scenario where perhaps we get to the point where the emergency board says, yes, go ahead with the building, can we do both?
It's possible that with the other reductions that we've made, and we don't shift any more funding, that they could probably still do both. If they get to that point and they come to the emergency board, they may not do this project as a result. They would have to take a look at what their cash flow is and whether or not they have sufficient revenue to handle that. And when we get into a discussion about the ending balance, we can decide whether or not they need 6 months operating revenue or whether 3 months is sufficient. Then they would have sufficient revenue in that situation as well.
Some of it in the ending balance to make sure they could care.
Correct.
On a motion?
Well, you can't vote, so why don't I just describe them? And
Okay, we have a question right now about 106 and 105.
What do you think of the hangar?
Take it while you can.
Yes. If you all vote yes, then
there
we can.
Yeah.
Are you a yes?
I don't have a problem with any of these.
Okay.
Oh, well, then we can vote on all of these then.
All right. Well, wait. We have a question on either 105 or 106.
Thank you. Just a quick question on 106. It talks about construction of an aircraft hangar building at one of the 30 state-owned. Which one is it?
Chair George, Representative Smith, we don't know yet. We've been investigating building a hangar at Aurora State Airport or at Independence State Airport. Or possibly at Cottage Grove State Airport. So
talk about the, if you could follow up with the need. Why? Why are we building it if we're not sure where the exact location is?
Chair George, Representative Smith, the reason is because we have waiting lists for hangars at those airports, and we didn't make this request big enough to build hangars at all of them because we have never built an aircraft hangar before. So we kind of wanted to do one, make sure we figured out how to do it appropriately, how to manage the leases and all that sort of thing first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did we? I didn't actually hear the motion. I'm sorry about that. Did you move
it?
Yes,
me, and I moved it. Uh-huh. That was 104.
Well, I heard you guys say that, and I was thinking,
I was just about to move 106, but I ain't got there yet, so.
Do you want to move back to 104?
Let's move back to 104.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion, and I think what we better do is call the roll on 104. With approval of policy package 104.
Right.
Okay. Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Warner?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Moving on to 106.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the LFO recommendation on 106.
If we have further discussion on that, do we have an objection to 106 so we can call a vote or we can just do it? Any objection to 106? Okay, without objection. Okay, 106.
107, the agency requested shifting their general aviation entitlement program. These are federal funds that are received as other funds. From operations to capital construction, and I'm recommending approval of the request to remove the expenditure limitation from the operations program, but not to the capital construction expenditure limitation. I'm recommending a new program expenditure limitation be established in the agency's budget to appropriately monitor and account for the activities of the program. And it's not really, it doesn't really fall into a capital construction expenditure limitation, but the agency wasn't sure of a mechanism that would help them account for it separately, and so this is the mechanism that I recommend.
And do you think that'll work for the agency?
Chair George, yes, I do.
Okay. Any further questions about 107?
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the LFO recommendation for policy package 107.
It's been moved that policy package 107 be accepted. Is there any further discussion, or is there anyone who has a problem with that? If not, I will just go without objection. Without objection.
I'm going to skip over the recommendations for amending the bill until we resolve the IT package.
Mm-hmm.
And move on then to the supplemental budget for 2103. This is the request from the Department of Aviation to increase their expenditure limitation for a search and rescue program for the current biennium by $29,861. And there is someone from the Office of Emergency Management here if you'd like to ask them questions about the expenditures, but it is detailed in my analysis following the agency's request.
Are there any questions about the $29,861?
Thank you. What I would be doing is recommending that the agency's budget bill be amended to include a section that allows for an additional $29,860 expenditure from their current budget, so we increase the limitation for this biennium. Do you want to move approval?
Yeah.
Or ask questions?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I'll move approval of the LFO recommendation to increase the department's 0103 budget by $29,861 for the search and rescue program.
Okay, it's been moved that we increase limitation for expenditure limitation on search and rescue by $29,861. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, just so that it's clear, I am assuming that that includes inserting the new section that LFO is recommending.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions for search and rescue? If not, I will just do this one again without objection. Okay.
Then there are two items from this agency for the capital construction bill. This is a different bill which will be heard in one of the subcommittees that hasn't been assigned yet, but when it is, the subcommittee's recommendation is needed for moving that bill along. And so for package 104, that's the capital construction limitation of $1 that went along with the other package, and I was assuming that you were recommending both, but okay. Then there is package 108, which is a capital construction for Bandon Airport.
Let me just make sure. Is everybody comfortable with the fact that we were dealing with this portion of 104? We had the discussion before we voted on 104. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
108 is a limitation for improvements at the Bandon Airport. There are federal funds available. It's dependent on the Federal Aviation Administration's approval of a project, and they haven't detailed what part of the project that they are going to approve, and so the agency is asking for a $1 limitation. When that is known, then they will appear before the emergency board for the additional limitation. So I'm recommending approval of that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I move the approval of the LFO recommendation on option package 108.
Oh, correct. We need your...
Yes.
We need Senator back.
The senators are kind of hard to hold down. I'm assuming that the hangar construction item is below the... Is there a $500,000 threshold for the capital construction?
Correct. That's correct.
So there's no... We don't have to mention hangars.
That's correct. We've moved the approval of including a dollar limitation. Okay.
Second.
Is federal dollar
limitation? Do you need a second?
No.
No. No. Okay. Without objection. 108.
Okay. Then the next action that the subcommittee needs to take is on the agency's performance measures, and I have listed those here. There were no issues or changes discussed during the public hearings, and these are the measures that were presented. Percent of runways in good or better condition, runways meeting length and width standards, airports meeting lighting and navigational aid standards, and number of people contacted through public meetings, public presentations, and website visits. And I'm recommending approval of those as presented.
Okay.
Comment?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair George. First of all, let me state, and I'm probably a little late in stating this, I do have a potential conflict of interest as my little business works with entities that work with the Department of Aviation. But I want you, everyone, to know here, I was working on a project back in Eastern Oregon, and part of the project required me to call around to other facilities that are owned by the state under the guidance of Ann, and I have to tell you, I never heard one bad word. Everything was positive. Everything was that this department is a pleasure to work with and that they truly do try and solve problems. And I wanted to share that with you, but I also wanted to save it until we hit the performance measures because I think they're doing a very fine job. So, thank you.
We need a motion to accept those.
Yes, we do.
Mr. Chair, I'll move acceptance approval of the performance measures.
Okay. I move that we accept the performance measures. Any further comments or questions without objection?
Okay, then subcommittee review of other funds and ending balance. This chart that is shown at the bottom of the page is the information that was provided by the agency of the governor's, of the ending balance of the governor's balance budget stage with the recommendations, adoption of the recommendations of LFO. There is, at the back of this packet, is a calculation of the ending balance. They will have $1,333,377 in ending balance, which is $237,435 more than they need, than the 6 month operating requirement that is in the governor's recommended budget. That money could be driven back into the budget. It could be left there for match money for the projects that are coming forward, like the Bandon Airport. Mm-hmm. When the Federal Aviation Administration approves a project, there's a match requirement by the state, and those monies would be used for that. Typically, the agency in the last 3 fiscal years, they've been running up between 100 and 150,000 in match for the projects. So they would need about that much. I question whether or not the agency needs 6 months in ending balance. Their cash flow is pretty steady throughout the biennium. At a minimum, I would recommend that they need 3 months. So there is some flexibility in their ending balance for projects as they come up. If their revenue streams change to, for example, when your proposal to require a 3-year licensing on the pilot's registration, that would change their flow a bit. But that's not the current law, and so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think 3 months would be steady. So there is some opportunity to either drive it back into this budget, or if the subcommittee desires to, there could be a transfer to the general fund since there's no constitutional restriction on the use of these funds. But I would just point out that these are one-time revenue source for the general fund that wouldn't solve the state's funding problems. And the second, and it wouldn't be enough anyway to solve the state's and I think there is a very strong aviation community out there that would object very highly to moving these monies to other purposes. But those are your options. So there is no, you can take action or not. There's no requirement in
but you do need to review it.
Representative Hanson.
Could you, thank you, could you review for me what what the status of ending balances are in terms of budgetary law? Are those absolutely frozen until the next budget level, until the next budget year? Can the e-board make changes to the ending balance amounts and use it towards a contingency fund, or what are the limitations on ending balance?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hanson, when the legislature sets an expenditure limitation on a budget, that's all they can spend. They cannot spend over that amount. But if they if something occurs through the course of the biennium that increases their need for additional expenditure limitation, they can approach the emergency board and explain that they have this cash balance to pay for this additional project or expenditure that that comes up. So it just remains in a bank account until it's needed for other purposes. Most agencies' revenue streams are restricted to particular purposes, and in this case, the jet fuel tax, the avgas, the licensing fees are dedicated to aviation purposes. So another, Park and Rec couldn't come in and say, I want to use some of this money over here. It can only be used for their mission and purpose. So by having a savings account.
Thank you, Chair George. And what's the opportunity cost if we were to take this money? Do you have grant applications out there where you've got a certain item already committed as leverage? Do we lose the opportunity to how do the grant programs work? Is it a dollar for dollar? I'm trying to figure out are we missing out on an opportunity to leverage this pot of money for greater federal dollars? Is that an issue? I don't know if it's an issue.
Chair George, Representative Smith, actually it's much better than that. Every dollar that we use as matching funds leverages $9 of federal funds.
Just so I'm clear, so if we were to take that 6 months and move it to 3 months, we're going to miss out on an opportunity to pick up $9 for everyone, potentially.
That's correct, Chair George, Representative Smith. That's potentially because if you think that every amount of money that we have, we can multiply it by nine with the federal government, that assumes that federal government money is unlimited, and there as much as we can take, we can have. And unfortunately, that's not the situation. So, again, we haven't turned back federal money in Oregon because of lack of a need to match it. For example, earlier today you increased our financial aid to municipalities grant program. Mm-hmm. Local government grantees take money from us as a grant to help them match the federal grant. And so the more that we can increase that, we can help get the money to where the needs are rather than to where the match money is, if that makes sense.
And we're going to run out of time on this. I wouldn't mind having some more information. Would you consider that issue? Because that was going to be the question I asked you. And have a report back tomorrow when we meet again to finish this budget. And we'll also be hearing the other House bill that we did not hear today.
The fee bill.
Yeah. And so I would like to hear kind of your vision of what would happen with the dollars if it remained with your budget and that sort of thing.
The ending balance.
Ending balance numbers.
Chair George, I'd be delighted to do that.
Okay, great. I think that'd be very helpful.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Byerly will see if Gary Weeks will be at our meeting tomorrow.
Right. That would be very helpful. Okay. Is there anything else to come before the committee? If not, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill. We were open on. Yeah, I want to get 5503 and with the tap of the gavel also get adjourned.